was looking down at the top of his own head from a height of 2 or 3 meters. It wasn't a comfortable sight. He looked overweight, and there was a small bald spot at his crown he hadn't noticed before, a little pink coin in among his uncombed mass of hair. He raised his hand to find the bald spot. The image in the screen raised its hand, too, like a puppet slaved to his actions. He waved, childishly, and looked up. But of course there was nothing to see, no sign of the tiny rip on space-time which transmitted these images. He tapped at the screen, and the viewpoint swiveled, looking straight ahead. Another tap, hesitantly, and it began to move forward through the Wormworks' dark halls, at first a little jerkily, then more smoothly. Huge machines, looming and rather sinister, floated past him like blocky clouds. Eventually, he supposed, commercial versions of this wormhole camera would come with more intuitive controls, a joystick, perhaps, levers and knobs to swivel the viewpoint this way and that. But this simple configuration of touch controls on his screen was enough to let him control the viewpoint, allowing him to concentrate on the image itself. And of course, a corner of his mind reminded him, in actuality, the viewpoint wasn't moving at all. Rather, the Casimir engines were creating and collapsing a series of wormholes, plank lengths apart, strung out in a line the way he wanted to move. The images returned by successive holes arrived sufficiently closely to give him the illusion of movement. But none of that was important for now, he told himself sternly. For now, he only wanted to play. With a determined slap at the screen, he turned the viewpoint and made it fly straight at the Wormworks corrugated iron wall. He couldn't help but wince as that barrier flew at him. There was an instant of darkness, and then he was through, and immersed suddenly in dazzling sunlight. He slowed the viewpoint and dropped it to around eye level. He was in the grounds which surrounded the Wormworks, grass, streams, cute little bridges. The sun was low, casting long, crisp shadows, and there was a trace of dew that glimmered on the grass. He let his viewpoint glide forward, at first at walking pace, then a little faster. The grass swept beneath him, and Hiram's replanted trees blurred past, side by side. The sense of speed was exhilarating. He still hadn't mastered the controls, and from time to time his viewpoint would plunge clumsily through a tree or a rock. Moments of darkness tinged deep brown or gray. But he was getting the hang of it, and the sense of speed and freedom and clarity was striking. It was like being 10 years old again, he thought, senses fresh and sharp, a body so full of energy he was light as a feather. He came to the plant's drive. He raised the viewpoint through 2 or 3 meters, swept down the drive, and found the freeway. He flew higher and skimmed far above the road, gazing down at the streams of gleaming, beetle-like cars below. The traffic flow, still gathering for the rush hour to come, was dense and fast-moving. He could see patterns in the flow, knots of density that gathered and cleared as the invisible web of software controls optimized the stream of smart-driven cars. Suddenly impatient, he rose up further, so that the roadway became a gray ribbon snaking over the land, car windscreens sparkling like a string of diamonds. He could see the city laid out before him now. The suburbs were a neat rectangular grid laid over the hills, mist-blurred to gray. The tall buildings of downtown thrust upward, a compact fist of concrete and glass and steel. He rose higher still, swooped through a thin layer of cloud to a brighter sunshine beyond, and then turned again to see the ocean's glimmer, stained, far from land, by the ominous dark of yet another incoming storm system. The horizon's curve became apparent as land and sea folded over on themselves and Earth became a planet. David suppressed the urge to whoop. He always had wanted to fly like Superman. This, he thought, is going to sell like hotcakes. A crescent moon hung, low and gaunt in the blue sky. David swiveled the viewpoint until his field of view was centered on that sliver of bony light. Behind him he could hear a commotion, raised voices, running feet. Perhaps it was a security breach somewhere in the Wormworks. It was none of his concern. With determination, he drove the viewpoint forward. The morning blue deepened to violet. Already he could see the first stars. They slept for a while. When Kate stirred, she felt cold. She raised her wrist and her tattoo lit up. 6 in the morning. In his sleep, Bobby had moved away from her, leaving her uncovered. She pulled at the blanket they were sharing, covering her exposed torso.